I don't really know.
It's just...
different?
Yeah, different.
Okay, well, fair enough. We
the,
do.
The weather doesn't always cooperate. I was looking at the radar. It's just about to Tulsa County.
Yeah.
So it's getting close.
Yeah, as far as the hourly forecast showed, that rain, which will probably be pretty gross because we're going to be in the low 50s today, probably going to get here about 1, 2 o'clock this afternoon, according to the hourly forecast. But, yes, it's moving ever so quickly up to the north, and it pretty much stretched from Lubbock on over to even the eastern portions of Arkansas, I was looking at earlier. So
yeah.
It's a pretty big swath of territory there.
There's a band down south of southeast of Oklahoma City. It looks like it's gaining some intensity. So we might get some good rain. Yay. Anyway, get out there and get that fertilizer on your grass. That Bermuda grass is going to need it.
There you go.
It's time for that to happen. Also, Arbor Day celebration is today at 11 o'clock at Johnstone Park.
Free tree if you're one of the first ones to show up.
Cool. Yeah, 100 people get a tree.
Yeah.
They didn't mention the species, but
seedling,
species include called pollinator attractors, like redbud trees maybe.
Okay, cool.
But anyway, a friend of mine had planted a redbud tree. He'd gotten on a similar instance in front of his house, and it's blooming now.
Wow.
It's been 2 years. It's really grown up.
Okay.
So they do live.
Turn up for trees, Arbor Day celebration, 11 o'clock this morning at Johnstone Park.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned first 100 people get the free tree seedling. And on top of that, you get a tree tips booklet and my personal favorite, a free hot dog, chips, and some drinks as well. You like the hot dog, Larry?
Oh, on occasion, yes.
Okay, sure.
Sure, why not?
All right.
Golly, now, this time of year is a busy time for a lot of things going on for people in the landscape. And now that your soil is ready for your annuals, I'm sure it is. You've been out there with a shovel digging and getting the soil already.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's time to get it ready for those annuals. Do we have a caller?
Nope, that's line one.
Okay, very good. Okay. They can be planted at this point, even though the weather forecast has a little tinkle of snow in it for tomorrow. I rather doubt it's not going to be cold enough for it to do any harm. However, if you do have your annuals and things, just to be on the safe side, you might consider refraining somewhat from planting those, at least until which we know for sure that the weather is going to be clear of any frozen precipitation or any abnormally cold weather. Be that in mind, though, the annuals are arriving at the nursery, and we've got a great selection of annual flowers, everything from alyssums to impatiens to double impatiens and some the sun impatiens. We have some sun impatiens out there, too, that are really good to have in the landscape. The sun impatiens take the sun very well and bloom all summer long,
Okay. But
they're thirsty.
Thirsty.
So what I said earlier about getting the soil ready is get that soil nice and chopped up, prepared, if you will.
Sure.
And some compost put in it to help conserve moisture. Mm-hmm. That way you won't have problems with wilted impatiens.
Okay.
So and those and the periwinkles aren't out yet. It's still too cold for periwinkles. You don't want to plant those till the first week in May or so because they tend to sort of get a fungus disease and collapse when it gets cold, so we don't even offer them for sale until we know it's going to stay good and warm.
Right.
Tomatoes, you can plant your tomatoes right now, but they'll just kind of sit there and do nothing until it warms up.
Right.
So unless you put maybe a little tent over them and try to keep them warm and that kind of a thing, you know. But tomatoes, it's a little premature for that. I like to plant mine a little bit later. Typically when the ground warms up. We do have some odd and unusual flower seeds, birdhouse gourds, vines, etc., and check out the big trees. They have some really nice looking dogwoods out there now. We've got a great big old pink one in front of the building.
Okay.
It's really quite showy. A couple of white ones are also, and the dogwoods are beginning to bloom at this point, too. We've planted a few of them already. I'm sure there's more on the list of things to do at the nursery, but the dogwoods are a very popular early spring blooming plant. They bloom around Easter. If the weather doesn't get to be 80 degrees for a week, make them come out too early like it did last week. So anyway, the dogwoods are starting to bloom. And I found that they do really quite well in a situation where the soil is very well drained. In other words, at the top of a hill as opposed to the bottom of a hill or on a hill, but not at the bottom of the hill.
Does that have something to do with watering, I would assume?
It has something to do with the root structure and its ability to cope with excessive moisture.
Right. Yeah.
They don't, ecologically, they're not adapted to that situation, and they don't tolerate it. If you've got a swampy area, you put a willow or a bald cypress or something in a wet area like that, but not a dogwood tree, they just simply will not make it. There are, and part sun is better for them, but I have seen some in town doing quite well in open sun. And that really depends on the depth of the soil, the quality of the soil, how well it's prepared, the drainage. All those factors have to play into one. Then it can tolerate another, at least one thing that traditionally they don't tolerate, and that is more sunshine. Mm-hmm. So if they can develop a really good root system, the dogwoods will tolerate some good, you know, some sun. But if you live in parts of a colonial where the soil is just horrendous, mm-hmm. or over in Suna Park, they probably won't do as well as, say, they would in Woodland Park.
Okay.
Or even some parts of Colonial are doing very well, too, where you don't expect it. Mm-hmm. So it's just a flip of the coin, really. Or if you dig a hole in the ground and you get a lot of clay and a lot of heavy limestone rock, then perhaps the dogwood is not the tree you want in that area. They're all alternatives. You might consider a crabapple tree, perhaps, or okay. some other blooming thing like that that might tolerate the conditions a little bit more. Redbuds also have a wide variety of tolerances. You see some growing in the floodplain as you go up what I call the Dinks Expressway.
Sure.
The Silver Lake Extension, there's some growing in an area where you don't expect redbuds to grow.
Uh-huh.
So they have a bit more of a tolerance as far as where they can grow is concerned. So anyway, that's what's going on with flowering trees. The azaleas are just about at their peak right now. And I have seen a lot of incident of mealybug and scale on azaleas in lace bugs. Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes it takes a while to think of the word lace bug. It's an easy word. Why does it take a while to come up? But anyway, lace bugs have been historically a problem, and they're going to be a problem again this year. So we do have a solution for that, which is a systemic insecticide, which should take care of them. Very easy to do. You pour it in some of it in a bucket, pour it on the ground, problem solved. So anyway, lace bugs are a big bad problem with azaleas, and it's only going to get worse if people don't do something about it.
Okay.
Fruit trees right now, a lot of them have completed their blooming period. I know my plum trees are done. The cherries are in bloom right now. I'm refraining from spraying until which time the blooms are done with their thing. And the fruit is starting to develop. And then I'm just using organics. Some of the organics are really easy to use. For instance, neem oil is a real easy one to use. You can spray the trunk of that or the stems. Or on a cool day, you can spray the leaves. And spinosad is another one. It's an organic type insecticide that works really quite well. Mm-hmm. It does a good job of controlling borers and little worms and caterpillars on your fruit. So when I use that on there, I have very few incidents of worms in my plum trees when I use the neem oil and or the spinosad on the tree. It works quite well, and they're very organic. I'm not saying you can just spray them into the wind, but be careful how you apply them because there are a lot of beneficial insects out there that we don't want to kill out.
Sure.
So that's kind of what's going on at the nursery, and so... with vegetables and tomatoes and things.
Yeah.
So what's, we talk a little bit about landscaping.
It's sure.
a good time to plan for that. I know landscaping can be done any time of the year. We have a full-time staff that runs all year round on landscaping. And if you want to plan, we can get it, can make a plan for you, and then you can see what it's going to be like and plan for it, if you will, financially. I was working with somebody on that, and it's a bit too much for them to take all at once, so we can decide what they might want to do at
sure.
a time, and it can be subdivided into different areas of concern on the uh-huh. landscape, and you can get through the course of a year, probably get a good landscape underway.
Okay.
So
do it a little at a time.
A little at a time, and it can be budgeted that way too.
Sure.
So planning for the landscape is good. Implementing the landscape is a very popular thing right now. We're very busy doing that.
Uh-huh.
And so that's to do right now. Perennials, they're coming up. The Heuchera came up really nice this spring. It's a plant that has variegated leaves on it, and it's becoming more popular as people are aware of it. And we did a composition last fall that involved some of the Heuchera plantings, also known as corbels or chatterbox, but the breeders have had fun with this particular plant in that they have developed plants that have different colored leaves, somewhat like coleus or caladiums would have in the landscape. Well, these leaf out and they come back every year, and the leaves emerge quite early in the year, even way before the hostas do. So Heuchera is one, a good perennial in a tough area that you might have sun, part shade or part sun for that matter, actually. what difference does it make? Sure. But anyway, where if you have azaleas growing, the Heucheras will work there too. So those, and there are a lot of other perennials from which to choose. We have herbs at this point too at the nursery. It's a good popular time to plant herbs. And you might think about a drip system or perhaps even an irrigation system. And I guess after the break, we can talk about sprinkler systems
a
little bit.
8:20. Hope that everyone's Saturday is going well. Still mid-40s across northeast Oklahoma, southeast Kansas. Green Country Gardener, Evan Farbach, Larry Glass with you. If you have a gardening-related question, all you have to do is give us a ring. Phone number 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936, 1-800-749-5936. Anything gardening-related, we'll get your question on the air. Green Country Gardener on a Saturday morning.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out and buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowater Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Spring has arrived, and like clockwork, Green Thumb Nursery has their new shipment of trees and shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants in. Head to Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5. And be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Hi, Brian Pritchard here at Bartlesville CDJ Ram, where we pride ourselves on being able to get people into the car that fits their family's budget. At Bartlesville Chrysler, we work with dozens of lenders and have such a large inventory, I can assure you we're able to get you financed in something in our lot. Don't waste your time at small, high-finance car lots where you can get taken advantage of. Come on out to our large, well-known dealership with a full-service repair shop. If you're in the market for a new vehicle and want a no-pressure, hassle-free buying experience with the area's largest inventory, make that drive down to Bartlesville CDJ. Check us out at BartlesvilleCDJ.com.
Good Saturday morning to you. Green Country Gardener on this Saturday. Cool one. Supposed to get some rain later on. It's working its way through the central part of Oklahoma as we speak. If you would like to ask a gardening-related, lawn-related question of Larry, whatever, give us a phone call. 1-800-749-5936. 1-800-749-5936. Where are we at with the rain now, Larry? Where's it heading?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
Here we go. Look at this little thing here. Let's see. Oh, there it is. It's just still in Tulsa County.
Yeah, right. It's well south of us.
But anyway, 100% chance of rain tonight. What does that mean?
That means you can bet on it, I suppose.
I mean, I think it means, like it says, 50% chance. That means 100% of the area has a 50% chance of getting rain, or 50% of the area has 100% chance of rain.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably
so. That's
accurate,
kind of one of the two. I think that's what that means. So you can get rain, and your neighbor probably can't. So I don't know.
You know, at some point, there's a place on the edge of that storm where it's raining and it's not. Did you know that? Ahead or behind of it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, much so.
There's a line in there somewhere.
It's kind of like the drip line around the tree.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a spot where it's raining and a spot where it's not.
Yeah.
I bet. Right. Usually that's how it works.
We've been at the nursery and unloading semi-trucks and a storm would come in and it would... It's the weirdest thing. One time it happened. All these little clouds were apparently along some kind of front line and they were squeezed by the different air masses.
Right.
And these little puffs of clouds would come and just drop rain, just like that, just like little artillery shells. It's amazing. And it probably weren't even a mile wide. It's just an absolutely amazing little rain event.
The thing that always stuck out in my mind when I think about that, and when you're driving, obviously it's evident lots of times, but my dad is a runner, and he kind of had a deal with my mom where when he was out training, if it started pouring, we knew what route he would run, and we'd go pick him up. Because, you know, he didn't want to go. He didn't want to come. And so at one point in time, it was sunny. And then, you know, it started raining. So we went out to get him. And he was real close. And he was just sopping wet. Yeah. And he said, it's been raining for 30, 40 minutes. Where have you been? You know, he wanted to know where we've been. Said, it's been pouring. And she said, well, it wasn't raining here. And it's like he didn't believe us. And I said, well, there's some point in time where it's raining somewhere, not somewhere else.
Look, the ground's dry.
We were on the line. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. So. But anyway, so it is. It can't. But this looks a bit more generalized than that. So
that's
I think
true.
We're going to get it. With that in mind, you might consider fertilizing your yard.
Okay.
Getting ahead of it, actually. At this point, get out in the shed right now.
Okay.
You get the spreader out right now.
Right now.
Get that fertilizer on your grass right now.
Okay.
So you don't have to water it in. However, if you had an irrigation system, you wouldn't have to worry about it. You can do it anytime you want.
Right.
So, but backing up a little bit, the ground moistures are really good. So that's a good time to fertilize is when there's good ground moisture. You really don't want to fertilize on dry ground because it cannot diffuse into the ground as it should.
Sure. That
makes sense. Water it previously then fertilize it. And then, or if you can, if you're Charlie, you can make it rain the day before and then fertilize and he can make it rain the day after.
Yeah, right.
Or whenever he leaves town, so.
It's coming.
So anyway, I guess the point is you want to water before and after you fertilize, so it'll get integrated into the ground real well.
Sure.
So now's the time for the first application of fertilizer on your Bermuda grass, and you want to take it a little bit easy on it right now. You want to get your stolons growing real well. Stolons are those little runners that run across the driveway.
Okay.
And if you increase the phosphorus and potassium in your soil, in other words, use something like a 16:8:8 or something that's not overly heavy in nitrogen, then you will have some good stolon development on your Bermuda grass.
Right.
And then it can begin to tolerate the heat real well when it comes in. A good root system is always good for that, and you can do that. You can establish a good root system with proper watering practices. That is, Bermuda grass doesn't have to be watered every day or every other day or every third day. You just water it when you need it.
Right.
So typically when we do irrigation systems, I advise people that. I said, you have your choice. You can water it automatically and make your grass dependent on the sprinkler system, or you can just water it as it's needed. Just because if you have a sprinkler system doesn't mean you have to water it 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Like when you see the sprinkler system's going when it's pouring outside. That's always
exactly.
fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are also initiating a program where we install beehive timers.
Sure.
That tap into the National Weather Service.
Yeah, I was going to say, anymore, you'd think that you could hook that up. It'd be pretty easy not to have that happen, right?
These also take into account, you enter the type of soil you have in your ground, and it'll take that into account also when registering a time to water. And, you know, if it isn't enough, you can always run it manually once or twice to increase the water. But I don't think it'll ever water too much.
Sure.
Because the whole idea behind that is to have water savings and make that timer a water savings device. Now, these timers, they can be integrated into your existing systems because the valves all have similar requirements. That seems to be a commonplace, a bit like screwing in a light bulb. They all fit the same socket. Well, the valves, the electric valves, have a very similar requirement. It's an industry standard as far as the amount of electricity required from the output of the timer. Mm-hmm. And likewise, the timers have a standard by which they all comply of output, which is compliant with the standardized input of the valves. So it'll work. Uh-huh. So it's very easy to retrofit. You just kind of rewire it. I put one wire in place of the other. And when I do that, I make note of the colors of the wire. Typically, irrigation systems have a color coding on their wiring clusters, be it red, yellow, blue, green, orange, pink, violet, gray, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's the whole rainbow there. Uh-huh.
And then you just get your phone and make a picture of it, or I just write it down, make a note of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right, and then color the color that correspond. And then you can wire it exactly the way it was. You also have opportunity to wire it perhaps in a more logical fashion if it isn't already. In other words, you hit number one, this one turns on, number two goes in the back. I've seen this so many times. Number two, the backyard turns on, and number three, the side yard turns on, and number four, the other half of the front yard, and number five, the rest of the backyard, mm-hmm, and then the side, it just dances all over the place.
Right.
If you have a logical progression, 1, 2, 3, 4, going either counterclockwise or clockwise around the house, you know what to expect next. Right. And also, when you're doing a sprinkler audit, which is something you should do every week on your sprinkler system.
Sprinkler audit.
An audit.
Do we need an accountant for the sprinkler audit?
Well, yes.
Oh, okay.
By all means, yeah.
Okay.
a sprinkler audit. We do this at the nursery a lot, too. Mm-hmm. It lets you be more efficient with your water in that you can detect leaks and problems with the sprinkler system, right, aiming problems and so on, or it might be a plugged-up head or something. So the timers have a test setting on them. Most of the new ones do have a test setting. And you put that, and then you just kind of walk around and follow it. Uh-huh. It's a lot easier if it's in a logical sequence where you can follow it as it waters around the earth. It's interesting to watch it come up over here and then come up over there and like someone just dance
that
around.
Makes sense.
It's like Bellagio, you know, mm-hmm, right in your backyard.
Yeah.
And that will let you keep track of what's going on with it. So if there is something wrong, you can put up the red flag and give us a call, or you can probably fix it yourself.
Right.
Had a guy come in yesterday, and somebody had driven a post through one of his sprinkler pipes.
Well, it's not any good.
And it was one of those funny pipes, mm-hmm, which is a polyethylene interface between the PVC and the sprinkler head. Mm-hmm. It's flexible, so it can bend up and down and move around a little bit without,
right,
breaking. And the parts are somewhat proprietary, although they're available pretty much universally. And so he needed a new sprinkler head, too. I sold him the whole thing for $7, and he was rather alarmed. You get a sprinkler head and two fittings and a section of pipe for $7.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
So and that did his repair, and I guess when I make it to the office, he'll either be there waiting for me for some more help or to say everything worked out just fine,
yeah,
one of the
all
two.
Good.
So anyway, I guess the point is you really need to do that on occasion just to check it out. Just
make sure
it's
you're not leaking
okay
somewhere.
And when you do get a sprinkler system installed, as a backup, you might want to consider a rain sensor.
Right.
We put ours as standard in all of our installations. We put rain and freeze sensors in. So when it gets cold and it's going to get freezing and it sprays out and it gets a little bit windy and it blows water on the concrete and it freezes.
Right.
You go out and get the morning paper, and you fall down, and you wind up in the emergency room because you didn't put a $100 rain sensor in. I mean, come on.
Right.
So, anyway, so those are standard on our installations, is cool, a freeze, rain and freeze sensor. And also the new ones will probably account for that. I don't know for sure of their programming, if they will stop in a temperature situation or not. But you still want to have the local temperature because that can vary depending on what the National Weather Service reports, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when there's a bird sitting on the rain gauge at the airport.
That'll happen. Seems like our rain gauge at the airport has a cover on it. I don't know.
I guess so.
The mezzanette and every person who we have that calls up here and tells us how much it rains always at least has 0.2 inches more than the airport got.
Oh, Kevin Potter, yeah. He's always got more rain.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the airport always has less than everybody,
yeah,
for the most part. I don't know why.
Mm, who knows? We'll find out, I guess. But anyway, so those factors play into making the system more efficient because water is getting more expensive and our reservoir is not getting any bigger. Mm-hmm. So we need to be aware of our water consumption so we don't have a drought problem like we had years back. Remember, was it 2011?
Yeah, it was.
When we had cattle skulls showing up on Hula Lake.
Man.
And we didn't. We really don't need that.
I didn't live here then, but I was going to school in Stillwater, and I just remember everything was brown.
Yeah.
It was there was just brown.
That's the year everywhere. I bought a water softener and don't regret it. but anyway, it was kind of a bad time.
Yeah.
And people, what are we going to do? Then it rained and all the problems were solved.
Yeah.
So be conscious of your water consumption and try not to be so liberal with your application of water. You want to water when the plants need it.
Sure.
Not when the clock says so, but when the plants need it.
Right.
And that's what I try to tell people when we plant trees and shrubs. You can't do it by the clock. You have to administer water when necessary, and that means you have to bend over and check the soil. Not right. that hard to do. And if it's looking a little bit on the dry side, hit the button. Right. Very simple.
Sure. Just watch it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so irrigation systems have to be engineered. You have only so many gallons per minute available, so many pounds per square inch available. You might have really good static pressure, but your working pressure can, if it goes down a lot, then it destroys the efficiency of your sprinkler system in that you have too large a water droplet coming out of the sprinkler head, and it travels too far and deposits way out away, and so you get maybe a donut shape of irrigation on your sprinkler system.
Instead of spraying it out like it should.
Uh-huh, because the water droplets are too large. Mm. So when that happens, several things you can do. It's difficult to read.
To be honest, it's never something I've even thought of before, but it makes sense. Exactly. Never once considered it.
Well, it's like running your whole house on an 18 gauge wire. You know, mm-hmm. it just won't carry it. It'll just burst.
Sure, makes sense.
So know your water pressure a little bit, and working pressure is a different thing than static pressure. Yeah, I've got 110 pounds at the meter. Yeah, but what happens when you turn on the water in the backyard? Mm-hmm. How fast is it going through that meter? Is it big enough to handle it, and so on? And then we engineer the sprinkler system that way. I've done it with as few as 3 sprinkler heads on the circuit.
Right.
Just because the static and the working pressure is really low. Uh-huh. And as many as 6 of them on a circuit.
Right.
Depending on the water flow. But anyway, there's a one thing you have to consider on the irrigation system is the velocity of the water within the pipe, too. If you go fast past a certain speed that the water goes in there, you've exceeded the friction loss factor in the pipe, and then you get significant pressure loss in your thing there too. And also it causes water hammer on your valves, which shortens their life and makes all this racket in the house when it shuts off too. So there's a few factors to consider.
A lot of things to think about. And if you have a question for Larry this morning, whether it be on irrigation or sprinklers or lawn or anything in your lawn, garden, any of that, to give us a phone call. Green Country Gardener on a Saturday morning. Phone number, we'd love to hear from you, 1-800-749-5936. Once again, it's 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back with more Green Country Gardener in 2 minutes.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod expert, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Check out Branson's most exciting show, Parrotville, a live music Jimmy Buffett tribute show performed nightly at the Jim Stafford Theater in Branson, Missouri. Parrotville walks audiences through the amazing musical career of Jimmy Buffett. You will hear great songs such as Cheeseburger in Paradise,
Cheeseburger in Paradise,
Fins, Margaritaville,
Twisting Away Again in Margaritaville,
all those other songs you know by heart. Parrotville has dozens of the most talented musicians and singers, making this a must-see for parrotheads of any age. Visit jimstaffordtickets.com, that's jimstaffordtickets.com, or call 417-330-8080, 417-330-8080.
At Peters True Value in Dewey, shop and save. Spring is here and time to get your lawns weed-free with Preen Extended Control Weed Preventer, just $13.99 after a $5 instant rebate. Preen Garden Weed Preventer is only $9.99 after a $3 instant rebate. When potting your household plants or gardening, give your plants what they need. Miracle-Gro Potting Mix, a 1 cubic foot bag, is $5.99 after a $2 instant rebate. Hurry while supplies last, only at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
Good Saturday morning to you, Green Country Gardener. Evan Farbach, Larry Glass alongside. We'd love to hear your gardening, lawn-related questions. Phone number 1-800-749-5936. Once again, the phone number is 1-800-749-5936. About 20 minutes left in the program. We've been talking about irrigation and sprinkling last few minutes, Larry.
Exactly, yeah. So get that fertilizer out and push that button.
There you go.
Anyway, the iris are beginning ready to bloom. I have iris buds, flower buds on my iris plants. And they make really quite a show when they do bloom.
Sure.
So it's a one-year event. If you have the twice blooming iris, you'll get another show next fall. They're kind of fun too.
Yeah,
kind of pretty. Mm-hmm. So they're coming out real soon. You should see emergence on most of all your perennials now. And of course, it's time to plant new ones if you don't think if you need some more. We got all kinds of different perennials that bloom at different times. One of my favorite perennials are the balloon flower, a fascinating plant that has a.
Did you say balloon?
Balloon flower.
Okay.
It has an interesting in that the flower looks a bit like a balloon before it opens.
Right.
Then it opens up kind of wide. And the blooms on these last for a fairly long period of time. I don't know that we have any balloon flowers ready yet, but it's a good seller, so we will have a lot. And Scabiosa is another good perennial. It's also called the pincushion flower.
Pincushion.
It doesn't hurt you or anything. It's just the name of it. But, and it blooms in perpetuity throughout the summer. So it's a good, reliable, bloom all the time kind of thing. And they're available in a blue primarily. And perhaps a pink one or two if we got some. But anyway, they're coming out. The hardy hibiscus is not up quite yet. I have one in my front yard. It's not up yet. So give them a little bit of time. Your lilies should be up at this point. Your daylilies are definitely up right now. They sort of come up and grow and just kind of sit there for a while. Then they take off again when it gets consistently warm. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're kind of at that sit there now point. And when it gets consistently warm, they'll take off a little bit more. So the daylilies are up at this point, so you know where they are.
Okay.
And let's see. Oh, the hardy lantana. I have several customers who have the hardy lantana, and they don't think they're alive. Mm. They're just not up yet.
Okay.
It hasn't been warm for a long period of time. So those two plants, the hardy hibiscus and the perennial.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Earphones fell off. and the hardy hibiscus are just not up yet. They will be shortly. Cool. The crepe myrtles, very, very slow to emerge so far. Some of them are out. We've got some that are out right now. We import those in from Houston. I guess that's not really importing them. We just get them in from Houston.
Yeah, you don't have to import them from Houston.
No.
I think,
yeah. Anyway, they're coming in. We're getting some from California and pretty soon. We have an Oregon shipment of Japanese maples and things coming in pretty soon, too. That's a long way to Oregon. I think they loaded the truck Thursday. So
it's longer to Japan.
Should be here. What?
Did they come in from Japan?
Oregon.
Oh.
Oregon.
But you said Japanese maple.
Japanese maple, yeah.
But they didn't come from Japan. Originally,
maybe, but perhaps originally, they
yeah,
did,
but not these from Oregon. They didn't skip from Oregon to from Japan to Oregon because that's over there near Oregon. Japan is right.
Yeah, that's about 10 miles away.
Well, it's closer than it is to here, is it not?
I guess so. It's just a jump over the over the horizon there. So anyway, speaking of Japanese maples, we got a good selection of those too. Keep in mind, though, the Japanese maples get 20 by 20 feet. And they grow well in the part shade, and will be dwarfed in the sun, and they do tend to get a little bit of sunburn or sun scald in the full sun.
Okay.
So sun scald can lead to other stem diseases and so on. So that's kind of why they need some shielding from at least the midday sun.
Okay.
So they don't have a chance to get that sun scald. And the sun scald occurs mostly in the wintertime, actually, when there are absence of leaves of other trees that are around it.
That makes sense. So close to other trees, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like we have a call. Good morning. You are on the air with Larry Glass for Green Country Gardener.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the first year I had failed to cut back my crepe myrtle.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to expect.
Well, they're probably not out quite yet, are they?
Well, I mean, I usually cut them clear back to about, 68 inches
uh-huh.
In February. But I wasn't able this year, so I didn't know what to do.
Oh, you're not too late. You really have until about the middle of end of May to do that.
So, okay, so it's okay to go ahead and cut them.
Oh, yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
You cut them today and make sure to dodge those lightning bolts.
Well, I think it's too windy up here to get out today, but I will get it done then.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you now.
That was a good suggestion, Larry. If you have a phone call, we'd love to get you on the air. Question for Larry Glass, phone number 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936, 1-800-749-5936. You can ask a question of a Larry Florida Green Country Gardener on a Saturday morning. We'll take another break. We'll come back with more Green Country Gardener after this. It's nearly 8:45, mid to upper 40s, northeast Oklahoma and southeast Kansas. Good Saturday to you.
Spring has arrived, and like clockwork, Green Thumb Nursery has their new shipment of trees and shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants in. Head to Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5. And be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan.
Between the pages of my mind.
Remember your high school days? Those are memories you can never forget.
Memories sweeten through the ages just like wine.
Join students of the senior class from Oklahoma Union High School as they reminisce about their school days this afternoon on KWON AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Join students Brendan Riemann, Austin Bright, Wesley Smith, and Owen Anderson from Oklahoma Union High School as they will be here this afternoon to entertain you with conversation and their favorite music. Class Day is brought to you by Total CSI, Coffeyville Community College, Welch State Bank, Pizza Hut of Bartlesville, and Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Tune in for music and memories this afternoon for Oklahoma Union High School Class Day on KWON AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Every year, tens of thousands of youth experience homelessness.
I didn't know how they were going to react. I just told my mom that I was gay.
One in four LGBT youth who come out to their parents is told to leave home.
She wanted to go and talk to my dad about this. He started reproaching me, telling me that he didn't raise someone gay. I started going to my grandma's house to sleep over. She kicked me out too.
Runaway and homeless youth are often victims of commercial sexual exploitation.
I was in the drugs and prostitution for 5 years.
1-800-RUNAWAY provides 24-hour access to a nationwide network of housing and support services for homeless and runaway youth.
I just felt so rejected. I felt like a failure.
If you or someone you know needs help, 1-800-RUNAWAY can provide support and connect you to the right resources. You can also text 66008 or go to 1800runaway.org. We can end youth homelessness.
Mid to upper 40 still, Green Country Gardener with you for about 10, 15 more minutes. 1-800-749-5936, the phone number to call to get your question on the air. 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass will answer gardening-related questions for you. We have a caller on the air. Good morning. You're on with Larry.
Good morning. I just wanted to make sure that we were checking in here from the household hazardous recycling event. We had two locations in Washington County. Of course, the Phillips 66 parking lot, downtown Bartlesville. Enter off of Adams, and they'll bring you right through, unload your vehicle for you. If you're just bringing shredding and nothing else, tell them that. They'll divert you off to the other side where the shredder machine is. And, of course, the Washington County District 2 barn off of 9th Street in Dewey. That's where they're taking tires and appliances and used motor oil and that sort of thing. So again, two locations. It's a Operation Clean House, the 30th anniversary of Operation Clean House, household hazardous recycling event. Bring your electronics, bring your used pesticides, herbicides, that sort of thing. You're not going to keep around. Maybe it's already gone outdated or something like that. They will take care of it for you, get it properly disposed of in an environmentally clean manner, and it's all free. So going on now until 2 o'clock, two locations in Washington County.
All right, thank you. That was our own Charlie Turtle-Bledy, who once again is going to be out for consumer calls on the road at the Operation Clean House event today. And you mentioned the two locations. They will be at the Phillips 66 parking lot. So consumer calls coming up in about 10 more minutes. Still time to get your question in for Larry, 1-800-749-5936. And Larry, we've been talking about trees.
Right, we were talking about Japanese maples or Acer palmatum. Palmatum in that it has a palmate leaf.
Okay.
It looks kind of like your hand when you open it out. But anyway, they are not a straight growing tree, actually. They grow more crooked than they do straight.
Wow.
Which can add to their appeal, if you will, in that they are somewhat asymmetrical. Several varieties from the Crimson Queen to the Blood Good, Japanese maple, the Osho Beni.
Crimson Queen.
Crimson Queen.
Sounds
Japanese
like some kind of an OU super fan or something.
I guess so.
I'm the Crimson Queen.
Crimson Queen. The Crimson Queen is a Acer palmatum dissexum variety.
Okay.
And it happens to weep also.
It weeps. What does that mean?
Well, it waters itself.
Oh, wow.
No, not really. No. it has a...
It's pretty good.
Kind of like a weeping willow.
Oh, that's pretty. Yeah.
A weeping habit like that.
Sure.
And people kind of underestimate the size this one a little bit until you get, so...
Okay.
It can get up to anywhere from 6 to 10 feet wide, which is going to be pretty nice. But be sure to give it room. If you don't give it enough room to grow that big, be prepared to shear it, or not shear it, but clip it back on occasion just to keep it in bounds.
Okay.
It is a very attractive tree, actually, and it has several grafts on it, too. You have a rootstock on the Crimson Queen Japanese maple, which is typically a green variety of Japanese maple, which has a more aggressive root system to it. And then you have a reverse section, and then you have the top graft on it. So there's kind of a bit of a process to create these. An Acer palmatum dissectum by nature doesn't grow into a weeping habit. You have to do that by grafting it. It gives the tree a little bit of difficulty with gravity.
Sure, right.
So anyway, I have seen some dissectums. The difference between a dissectum and a palmatum is the leaves. The leaves are more... thin and ribbony, if you will, on the dissectum, whereas the palmatum is more close to a maple leaf shape. So anyway, they're available in several colors, too. Green, orange, yellow, and red, of course. And the most popular one would be the Blood Good. The Emperor is another one.
Is that red?
Yes.
Okay.
The Emperor, though, has a bit more reliable red color in throughout the season. So if you're considering a red Japanese maple, you might... maple. You might consider a either a Crimson Queen or the Emperor.
Okay.
Would probably be a good choice, too.
Let's go ahead and take our final break of the program. We will come back with the last little bit of Green Country Gardener coming up.
The most important feature in a window is trust. So go with a name you know, Anderson, the time-proven choice found in more homes than any other. And Anderson is the brand rated by builders as the most weather-tight, highest quality, and most durable. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson, the most trusted name in windows. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overly Woods Lumber Company on Knowater Road in Bartlesville.
Are you concerned about your health but anxious about undergoing a necessary radiology exam? Many people are. Know what to expect and how to prepare by visiting radiologyinfo.org. You'll find over 235 easy-to-understand descriptions of radiology procedures, exams, and treatments. Ease your concerns and visit radiologyinfo.org today. Produced by the Radiological Society of North America and the American College of Radiology.
11-year-old Maddie lives in Ethiopia in extreme poverty. Like every child, Mehdi is a world of possibilities. But the world tells her otherwise. It tells her she has no value. It tells her she has no voice. It tells her she has no future. It doesn't have to be this way. Child Fund works in 25 countries to ensure that millions of children like Mehdi grow up healthy, educated, self-sufficient, and safe. Our programs help children fulfill their potential, no matter where they were born. Through Child Fund, children like Mehdi know their value, raise their voices, build a future. The right thing to do for Mehdi help change the world around her, help her realize all her possibilities. Child Fund International. Learn more at childfund.org.
Welcome back to Green Country Gardener on a Saturday. About 6 minutes left in the program. Probably have time for another call if you'd like to squeeze in. 1-800-749-5936. The phone number to call. Larry's still with us. We've been talking about Japanese maples.
Yes, continuing with the Japanese maple. They do like a moist, well-drained, fertile soil, okay, which is quite opposite what we have here in Bartlesville. So, you might consider planting one in an area that's well-drained, right, and also some protection from the hot sun. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of people lose their Japanese maples from overwatering more than anything, which I mentioned earlier about watering and being very judicious about it, and watering only when something needs it. So you want to watch that soil moisture really very closely.
Okay.
So the Japanese maple does not get overwatered. You can fertilize it too. Fertilize early in the spring with a 16-8-8. I like to use Morganite fertilizer on them. I know mine at home does very well with the Morganite fertilizer. It's a very gentle way to fertilize. You can put on there, you know, as much as you want, and it really won't affect it hardly that much. So it's a good thing to use, and we do have some Morganite at the nursery for sale.
Looks like we have a caller. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry.
Good morning.
Morning.
I planted several cherry trees, and I never knew them to come up. Can you give me a hint how to do that? Because I've taken them from seed from another cherry tree and stick them in the ground, and they don't work.
Yeah.
I planted trees here and stick them in the ground, and they don't work. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Huh. Okay, you do have an area that's pretty well drained, good soil, no clay or anything like that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
When you, I know I've got cherry trees in my house that are, golly, they've been there 10 years, and they're big old things right now. And I've got them growing on a hill, actually, on a terrace, and they're doing really quite. I never water them, and they're doing really quite well. So they're really. They really don't.
You spread the roots out, or when you plant them.
Yes. I get them bare root. I got them bare root. It's on our wedding anniversary. And we were leaving for a cruise the next day. And I go, oh, my goodness, I hope they make it. Our 25th at the time, actually. But anyway, and they did really quite well. You spread the roots out, and I planted them in a mud of a mixture of compost and soil. And they actually did very quite well.
Okay. I'll give that a try.
And let them get just a little bit on the dry side between waterings. Don't let them sit in water too long, because those roots really, really need the air for them to grow quite well. And add a lot of loose organic material to allow the soil to aerate a little bit. I think you'll have better luck.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. And we had another caller call as well. Only a couple minutes left in the program here. 47 degrees on Green Country Gardener.
Okay. I'm
talking Japanese maples for a couple more minutes, unless that guy calls back.
Okay, back to that. I use a Morganite fertilizer or a 16-8-8 fertilizer, not too strong one. They can get a late frost damage on them. If we have a freeze coming up, it can damage them in the spring and actually kind of ruins them for the whole year. Hmm. And the leaves tend to tatter in the wind. In other words, it gets real windy, and they flap around, and they tatter, if you will.
Okay.
It makes them ugly.
A little damage there.
Mm-hmm. So we got a caller?
We do. Good morning. About a minute left. Go ahead and ask Larry a question.
That
you're,
me?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Oh, you know what? I was calling to see. I'm trying to advertise a garage sale. Do I have the wrong phone number?
Oh, nope, you don't. We'll just after 9:06, we'll be doing consumer calls, okay?
Alrighty.
All right. Yep, no problem. Thank you. And go ahead, Larry, with Japanese maples.
Okay. Anyway, that's kind of it on it.
Okay.
But anyway, in the wintertime, they do need some shielding from the really hot sun. What causes sun scald is essentially frozen sap in the cambium layer of the tree. Yeah, no, the phloem layer, actually. They're wrong.
Phloem layer.
And it, when the sun hits it in the wintertime, it thaws out too quickly, and it causes the cells to collapse or something. Mm-hmm. And then you get death, and it's called sun scald. And subsequent to that would be stem disease and so on. So it can cause some problems. So that's kind of like why they really like some shielding from the sun. And it's not primarily, it's not the summertime that causes that. It's the wintertime, actually, okay, that causes that to happen.
With the leaves being barren again, is that the reason why?
Yeah, well, it's actually too much sun for too much heat in the wintertime, yes.
Oh, okay.
So, so if you have a tree that, a pretty good sized tree that'll shield it somewhat during the wintertime, it should do just fine. Gotcha. So, anyway, we're just about done for today.
We are. Just about 30 more seconds.
So. It's a good day to get out there and get that fertilizing done on your yard. Last time to do some
battling. It rains, though, right? Not during the rain.
Well, yeah. The ground moisture is good right now. If you do fertilize them, when it does rain in, it'll wash it in real good.
Right.
And it's a good time to get those vegetable gardens turned over and get ready for those tomatoes to go in. Cool. And to do that, you need to keep your shovel sharp. See you next week.
Thank you so much. 47 degrees. We've got CBS News coming up.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Portalsville, Pawhuska, and